third chapter of the book of Galatians, a verse of scripture, and read a couple more verses as we go along here. This third chapter of the book of Genesis, down there in the sixth verse. Even as Abraham believed God, it was accounted to him for righteousness. And the word accounted there means imputed or reckoned. Abraham believed God, and it was imputed to him for righteousness. Then over here in the fifth chapter of the book of Romans, it says this, and verse 19, Romans chapter 5, verse 19. It says, "For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous." Then in the 10th chapter of the book of Romans, verse number 4, it says, "For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth." Now, justifying righteousness, what is it? What is justifying righteousness? Justifying righteousness is the doing and the suffering of Christ when He was in this world. That's what it is. This is clear because we have already read that we're justified by His obedience. The righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, this justifying righteousness, which is referred to in some scriptures as the righteousness of God, this righteousness resides in and with the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Before I go any farther, let me try to emphasize again that for a person to be reconciled with God, he must have that which God requires. And God requires a righteousness that is perfect. He must have a perfect righteousness to be reconciled to God. He must have a perfect righteousness to find favor with God. He must have a righteousness to be accepted by God. And this righteousness, which is justifying righteousness, resides in and with the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, it is of a justifying virtue only by imputation. only by reckoning, only by imputation. By God's reckoning it to us, even as our sins made the Lord Jesus Christ a sinner. Let me say it again. It's of a justifying virtue only by imputation, only by reckoning. It's by God's reckoning it to us, even as our sins made the Lord Jesus Christ a sinner. It's by God's reckoning it to Him, God's imputing or charging Him with our sins. It's the transference of our sins laid on Him. Now, the righteousness of God is the righteousness of God's completing Himself. It is a righteousness of God's bestowing, a righteousness that God gives unto and puts upon all of them that believe in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. The righteousness by which we must stand in before God is this justifying righteousness that is freely imputed or charged to or reckoned to the person that believes in the Lord Jesus Christ. This righteousness by which we stand just before God from the curse of the broken law was performed or wrought long ago, 2,000 years ago, by the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, let me just make it this short. The justifying righteousness that God requires of every believer in order for him to stand in good stead with God and to be in favor with God, to be a child of God, was performed by the Lord Jesus Christ Himself alone 2,000 years ago. And how we come to receive it is by it being charged to our account, by it being reckoned to us. The righteousness of God, this justifying righteousness of God, is no common righteousness. It was the righteousness of Him who was both God and man. Therefore, it is not only the righteousness of God, but it is also the righteousness of the God-man. So it's not a common righteousness. It's not a righteousness that we refer to in ordinary conversation that we have among one another on a daily basis or routine conversation. It's not a common righteousness, the justifying righteousness that stands, that makes us to stand just before God. It's the righteousness of God, and it's the righteousness of a man. But in addition to this, addition to the fact that it is not only the righteousness of God and man, not only the righteousness of God, and not only the righteousness of man, it is the righteousness of the God-man. of the Son of God and the Son of Man in one person. It embodied, it exhibited all uncreated and all created perfection, the justifying righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ is rolled up into all uncreated perfection and all created perfection in one lump. Never had the like been seen before or heard of in heaven or in earth. It was the twofold perfection of creaturehood and creatorship in one glorious person, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the dignity of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ gives perfection to that righteousness. That's the reason why that it's said to us many times in the preaching of the gospel that we must know who He is. We must know something of His person. It's not just to know about Him, but it's to know who He is. And to know who He is to know that He was God manifest in the flesh. That the Lord Jesus Christ is not just an ordinary person. That the Lord Jesus Christ is God Himself in the flesh. God came down and become a man. And as man and God in one person, He established and brought about a justifying righteousness never the like had been seen or heard of until our Lord Jesus Christ established this justifying righteousness. And in the dignity of His person, gives the perfection, adds to the perfection of that righteousness. It adds a vastness, a height, a depth, a length that cannot be equal. If you rolled up all the righteousness that humanity has ever produced from the time of Adam until right now, it would fall far short of the righteousness that the Lord Jesus Christ established and brought in. There would be no comparison whatsoever. It's never been equaled and never shall be equaled, this justifying righteousness. And this is the righteousness that we must have in order to stand before God in His favor. We must have it. And it only comes by imputation to those who believe the testimony concerning God's Son. It is the perfection of perfection. It is the excellency of excellency. It is the holiness of holiness. It's that which God preeminently delights in. He said, "This is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. I preeminently delight in Him." He is that justifying righteousness, that perfection of perfection that holiness of holiness. Never had the law been so kept and so honored before as when the Lord Jesus Christ kept the law and honored the law and magnified it and glorified it. The Son of God and the Son of Man in one person have kept that law. He, in His twofold character, God and man in one person, in that twofold character, as the Son of God and the Son of Man in one person, He provides a righteousness that is so large, so complete, so vast, so immense, so full, that it provides a righteousness that can be shared with others and transferred to others. And others can use it and make their plea before God based on it, this justifying righteousness. Never had God been so loved before as now, with all divine love and with all human love. God had never been loved like that before. He'd been loved with divine love, but not with human love. But here we find out that this justifying love has been brought about by the man Christ Jesus. And the man Christ Jesus is the God-man. He, in His twofold character, has provided a divine love to God, been God Himself, and being a man, He has provided a human love to God. So you can say, God had never been so loved as He is now, with all divine love and with all human love in one person. Never had God been so served and obeyed as He has now by Him who is God manifest in the flesh. Never has God found one before who for love to His holy law, who was willing to become the victim of the holy law, that the holy law of God might be honored and glorified, who for love, out of love, everything that the Lord Jesus Christ as a man did in our behalf unto God was out of pure, unadulterated love. Who for love to God was willing not only to be made under the law, and by coming under the law, He subjected Himself to death, even the death of the cross. One who love the Father so and love the fallen sinner with a love that paralleled the love of anything that's ever mentioned, was willing to take the sinner's place and bear the sinner's burden, and to undergo the sinner's shame to undergo the sinner's guilt and to undergo the sinner's penalty of shame and anguish and go down into the darkness of the sinner's grave. No love like that had ever been known. So you see what I'm saying here this morning. I'm saying this justifying love and obedience is wrought by the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ, God's only Son, who condescended and become a man, and as a man answered all the claims of divine justice, answered all the demands of the law in our behalf, in our place, and in our stead. And when we believe the account, the testimony of God concerning who His Son is and what His Son does, then this justifying love is charged to our account. It's imputed to us, given to us freely, and we're regarded by God as though we did it ourselves, though we never did a single solitary thing. And that's all the good news of the sinner, isn't it? Good news to the sinner. Justifying love. Oh, my soul. I believe this morning, as I think about it, when they talk about what a man's got to do to be saved and all of that, and never talk about the justifying love and obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ, I believe if my salvation, and I say this honestly, as honest as I know how to say it, I believe if my salvation depended upon my always loving my neighbor as myself, I'd be damned forever. If my salvation depended upon my loving my neighbor always as myself, I'd be damned and sent into the regions of the damned forever. And you would too. Not just me, but you would too. Well, some folks say, well then, how do you expect to go to heaven? Well, I'll tell you this, you can't go on that ground. You can't go on the ground of loving your neighbor as yourself because you can't do it. So you're not going to go on that ground. You got to have a justifying righteousness. You got to have a righteousness that is as righteousness as God Almighty Himself. And that righteousness can only be found in one person. And that person is the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where that righteousness is. And He says, as I read to you there in the book of Galatians chapter 3. Anyhow, it says that even as Abraham believed God, it was counted for righteousness. It was imputed to him for righteousness. That's what I'm talking about, justifying righteousness. How can a man be just before God? The only way he can be just before God is to have the justifying righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, which He freely imputes and gives to any sinner who will own Him as their Savior. And so if you think you're going to go to heaven because you're attempting to do this or attempting to do something else, and as I gave the illustration, if I thought that I had to love my neighbor as myself, I'd be damned. I'd be damned right now. I'd been in hell since the day I was born. Yeah, I can't do it, but He did. I can't do it. But the Son of God and the Son of Man in one person loved His neighbor as himself. He did that for me. That's added to my account. That's charged to me. That's reckoned to my name. Oh, you can't on that ground. I know a lot of folks say they think they're going to go to heaven by counting their beads and paying the priest. And why, my soul. If you take away the Christ of God, there's not enough holiness in this whole world to save one sinner. Not one sinner. It's the justifying righteousness established by the Lord Jesus Christ in His 3 years of obedience to God and His 3 years of suffering, paying our debt and our penalty. All of that accumulated, brought about and added, put under our name. What part has Christ in this great salvation? One more time. He stood in the people's law place. He called their sins His own. He had no sins. He was made sin. He took the sins of His people and called their sins His own sins. And He was punished not for His sins. He didn't have any. He was punished for my sins. They became so real to Him, He said that they were His own. He stood in His people's law place. And He called their sins His own. And He took their debt as His own. And He paid their debt. He canceled out their sins by His own precious person and His own precious blood. He drank into His holy soul all the hell that His children would have endured. And He put out the flames of hell with His heart's blood, that your soul and my soul, if we be saved by the grace of God through the Lord Jesus Christ, that we might obtain eternal blessedness with Him. This salvation of God Almighty is so extensive that it must meet the requirements, the whole requirements of God's holy law. It's so extensive that it must meet the demands of God's holy justice that says the soul that sinneth shall surely die. It is so extensive as to meet the sinner's awful depravity of his nature. And I say here with reverence this morning, reverence to you and reverence to God Almighty Himself, I say that the salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ and His justifying righteousness is a salvation that even God Himself cannot mend or Satan cannot mar. It is a complete salvation, a finished salvation, once and for all. A salvation short of this salvation will not reach the core of a man's heart, but will fall short of it. You can cover up the wound, but that won't help. You've got to have a salvation that'll do away with all of your sins and pay all the debt that you owe and clothe you in a righteousness that even God Himself can't find fault with. A salvation that Satan can't tamper with. And that's the salvation I'm talking about here this morning. I'm talking about this justifying righteousness. That's the ground on which we stand. All other ground is sinking sand. The justifying righteousness entitles us to all of God's salvation, every bit of it. And the only thing about this salvation that I can say with assurance this morning is the certainty of it. It's a certain salvation. I was there at the George Jones's funeral there the other day, and after the service was over with, and I was sitting in my car, a fella, I didn't know who he was, he heard me mention something to Betty Brown and her daughter-in-law about the service. Wasn't nothing said except I just said, well, I wish the preacher would have said more about Jesus. He didn't say anything about Jesus. I said, well, I wish he'd have said more about Jesus. And that was all I said. And this fella got out of his car, and he come over to where I was at in my car. I had the window rolled down, and he come over, and he said to me, he said, are you Reverend Richardson? And I said, well, I'm Richardson. I'm not too reverend, but I'm the preacher, if that's what you mean. And he said, yeah. He said, well, I want to ask you something. He said, was George ever baptized? And I said, I don't know. I don't think that he was. I said, I've been knowing him about all his life. And I said, I don't think he was ever baptized. I said, I may be mistaken about that, but I don't think that he was. And he went like this. Boy, I said, I was afraid of that. He thought if a man was baptized, that'd justify you before God. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the justifying righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. That which He wrought. That's what's imputed to your account. You say, well, what about baptism? Well, if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus, then you just go on out and be baptized. But that hadn't got anything to do with justifying righteousness. Man, be baptized 25 times and miss out on this. All of our entitlement is based on the justifying righteousness of the Lord Jesus. That's what entitles us to heaven. The justifying righteousness that He wrought in Himself. That entitles us to all that God has. That's the reason the Bible says that Jesus Christ is our all in all. He's everything. There's nothing's outside of Him. You remember the song they used to sing years ago, that put all your eggs in one basket. I think it was a song. I don't know whether it was or not. Maybe just an expression. Put all your eggs in one basket. God put all His eggs in one basket in Christ. Everything's in Christ. Everything. Justification, sanctification, redemption, wisdom. Everything's in Him. If you got Him, you got everything. You don't need anything else. You got Him. He's enough. But if that's all you got, He's enough. The old lady asked the preachers. She said, well, Jesus is all I got. And the preacher said, well, are you sure that's enough? And she said, if that's all I got, I know He's enough. If that's all I got, I know He's enough. Can't have any more. If you have any more, He's not enough. Our all's in Him. All in all. You've got to have Him. Your baptism don't mean a thing. That is, in light of the salvation.